Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is always a pleasure that we can come into the presence of our Lord and offer our praise and thanksgiving for all of the wonderful things that God has done. The announcements as we come this morning, first a welcome to those both here in-house and those who join us on the live stream or whenever you may see this service of worship online at some point in the future. It is good to welcome people virtually as well as physically into our worship, and we pray that it will be a blessing to you wherever you are. And a special welcome this morning to Bruce Russell, who is playing the organ. Bruce is no stranger to many of you here at St. John's, as he grew up in this congregation and has from time to time had the opportunity of leading in worship through his gift of music. And we're very grateful that Bruce has taken time to be with us this morning. As we start to creep slowly back into things that are what we call normal, right? We're creeping slowly back to normal. Stewardship announcements and giving goals become part of our life. So please note the last announcement that is in the bulletin this week, having to do with our giving goal. Thank you to everyone for their generosity over the past 3 months as we've started the year received generously from the congregation. We have not quite made our goals, however, and so if there's anything that you can do to help us achieve the goal, that would be great. That would be wonderful, and we would be most grateful. And a reminder of the McGaughy organ concert, which is coming up on Friday, the 5th of May, and there are posters available, and if you would like a poster to post somewhere that you know where it might encourage people to come, please you can speak to Michelle, or you can speak to myself, and we will ensure that you will get them. And finally, condolences are extended this week to the Rennie family at the passing of Fred Rennie this past Monday. The funeral for Fred will be held here from St. John's with visitation on Sunday, April 30th, 2 to 4, 7 to 9, the usual times. And then on the Monday from 10 o'clock until 11, which is the time of the funeral. So please make note of those times. I'm sure you will want to be here for some of that weekend. And also as part of that preparation, we do hope to, we would like to mount a choir behind me, a little bit more augmented than Daniel's faithful band, who are always with us. So if you would like to be part of the choir on that morning, speak to me as well. Session met this week, and so Cynthia is going to come and present the session summary, and then she's going to go get me a glass of water.
He even told me this morning, and it just went right out of my head. I'm sorry, I'll be back up in a minute. One other announcement as well. We would like to say happy 90th birthday to Joop Enkhorn, who will be celebrating tomorrow. So if you haven't signed the card at the back, please do so before you go, and we wish him all the best as he celebrates his birthday tomorrow. As well, before the session report, I would like to say on behalf of the session and everyone here at St. John's, thank you to the Wednesday Ladies Group and all the people who came out to help them in the kitchen for the quilt show on Friday and Saturday. It was a great deal of work. I know that they've got a lot on their plate, so it's greatly appreciated, and the hospitality was appreciated by the quilters as well. Thanks also to our house committee for their work in coordinating this event, and our custodial staff, Mariah Adams, thank you, Mariah, and Jeannie Hughes for their extra efforts to help set up and take down. It really was a big endeavor. And our facility was kept clean over the weekend, which was nice. The Quilters Guild reported that 750 people flowed through these doors over their two-day event. And thanks to everyone's efforts, we represented our church in the broader community very positively. So thank you. So session met on Tuesday, April the 12th at 7 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, which proclaims the good news that we have been given new births into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in his rich abundance to us. Session is embarking on a process to consider the notion of change. We will start by thinking about what our ideal church might look like. The elders will meet next week to consider this question. And as we move through this process, we hope you will engage with us. So stay tuned for further information. The committee to consider next steps for the 6th Street Cemetery will meet on April 20th, 2023. If you would like to be a part of this group, it is open. So please speak to Reverend Adams about that. Carol Esdale, the chair of the Communion Committee, reported that for Maundy Thursday service, 17 pre-filled cups were delivered and 23 were present in the service for a total of 40 served, and our next communion will be June 11th. Susan McDonald reported that the church continues to be very busy with upcoming events. Major things include the Rotary Pancake Breakfast on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the McGaughy Organ Concert on the 5th of May, and the Presbytery meeting on Tuesday, May 16th. The Presbytery meeting on Tuesday, May 16th is one where all of Presbytery come. We always host Presbytery Council, which is a small group, but this one is the large, full Presbytery meeting, so that will be fun. Trish Brown reported that the Faith and Nurture Committee met on March 22nd, and they are working on the Sunday School Room. In the near future, they will be sending out a survey for your ideas for intergenerational activities, for example, bowling or a chili night or chili cook-off. A vacation Bible school will be held at St. John's. Yay, gang, that's awesome. In the mornings during the week of July 10th to 14th, this is a joint effort between our church and Knox St. Paul's. We hope you will not only encourage the young people in your family to attend, but also consider volunteering. If you can, please speak to Trish, Sarah Jane, or Laura for more information. Finance Chair Keppel Barris requested a transfer of $10,000 from the Heritage Trust Fund to cover operating expenses upcoming. And Reverend Adams will take 2 weeks of study leave in May, and he plans to attend the Festival of Homiletics in Minneapolis. You might ask him what that might look like. An ecumenical alpha group is also being planned by Reverend Adams and the clergy of Knox St. Paul's United and St. Peter's Anglican and Trinity Anglican. The group is going to meet at St. Peter's on Wednesday afternoons from 12 to 2 for 12 weeks, with lunch being provided by St. Peter's. This will be starting at the end of April and run until the end of June. If you are interested in this opportunity, please contact Reverend Adams as soon as possible, and I'm going to get a glass of water now.
I think you're okay. Magic. Friends, as we come into the house of the Lord, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we as the followers of Christ seek to walk in his ways. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. Peace be with you. On the evening of Jesus' resurrection, the disciples were gathered in fear. The risen Christ appeared in their midst and said,
"Peace be with you."
We come today, some of us filled with joy, some of us filled with fear. And to each of us, Christ says, "Peace be with you." Let us trust ourselves to that peace as we come into the presence of our risen Lord this morning and offer our prayers and praise. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Glorious God of all, you are the giver of new life. You are the one to whom we owe each breath. You are the reason for our hope. Send your enlivening spirit. Be present with us as we come close to you, seeking your light to see what has been revealed, seeking your warmth to set hearts aglow with your love, seeking your truth that we might trust. As we proclaim the Easter gospel, that in you life is life which conquers death. Make us anew and your beloved children. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is 243, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, hymn 243.
Our draw.
Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sin we might live to righteousness. Trusting in God's grace, let us come now confessing our sins as we read together the prayer as it appears before us. Wondrous God, you have broken the power of sin and death, and by your great mercy, you have given us new birth into a living hope. This we proclaim, this we want to believe, but seeds of doubt grow quickly in our hearts. Fear chokes off confidence and prevents us from receiving your Spirit. We multiply our sorrows by worshiping what we see and hear more than you, our delight and salvation. O God, in your great mercy, grant us the peace that passes understanding. Forgive us and draw us close to you, that we may breathe deeply of your presence and find in you the fullness of joy. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of God's promise. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, says the Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to you, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us come in praise as we sing the hymn 274. Crown him with many crowns, hymn 274. as we've been working through the confirmation class with the young people, one of the questions, of course, that arises every time we do confirmation class, and what is a larger question than that, is the question of how have you experienced God? Because the reality is, for each of us, we have to have some sort of experience of God for faith to root and blossom and grow. And so I wanted you to think about that question for a minute. How is it that you have experienced God in your life? What is the reason that you are here in this place this morning, placing trust in our Lord? And we're going to do one of those little exercises this morning. You're going to find somebody with whom you did not drive in the car this morning. That's a good way to kind of do it. And you're going to share with them briefly what are some of the things that draw you into the presence of God. How have you experienced God? And we'll be talking a little bit more about this theme throughout the day. And if you really want to be adventurous, the people who over here can move over, can find a friend over here, and vice versa. Don't feel like you have to stay where you're put. You've got 2 minutes. Go. If you're not done, wrap her up. And we'll mention some of these things, not the complete list, of course, but some of these things actually will be referenced once more in our sermon for this morning. So you can listen to see if you are in there or not. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your living and risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Our First Testament reading will be Acts chapter 2, verses 14a, and then continuing from verse 22 to 32. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let the Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses." Our Old Testament reading is Psalm 16. It is a responsive reading, and it will appear before you on the screen. "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight.
Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a godly heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit.
You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second New Testament reading is from Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools, so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about people, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are the Christ, and the Christ is God.
Jump in here on Moriah, because this is a tricky hymn. It is. I picked it this week and I said to Bruce, I'm not sure about this. But Bruce said, well, I'm pretty sure Fred picked it. He's not sure that it went over well when Fred picked it, but he was pretty sure that Fred picked it. So we're going to sing 261. I'm going to invite you to grab your hymn book for a second and turn to 261. The words will appear on the screen, but a roadmap is important. And a similar roadmap will happen in the last hymn as well. So it will be helpful. One of the odd, strange things about the season of Easter is we like to say hallelujah a lot, okay? And there are a number of hymns that have been written that begin with a refrain of hallelujah and end with a refrain of hallelujah, but you don't sing it after every verse. And that is like how this hymn is laid out, and it's also how our last hymn is laid out. So you see at the top of the page, it says, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We will sing that at the very beginning and at the very end. And for the other several times, we will not sing that. So be prepared for that. Now, there are hallelujahs at the end of the verse, you will notice on the next page. So we will get a couple of hallelujahs in there for good measure. That's important. The other thing, because this is not a familiar hymn, it will be helpful for you to know that when we get to the verses, the first musical phrase and the second musical phrase are basically the same notes. So you sing a little tune for three or four bars, and then you repeat that little tune for the next three or four bars. Then you sing the final phrase, and then you're to the hallelujahs. Okay? So it kind of repeats. So listen for that. It will help you learn this hymn. Finally, with fear and trepidation, you may have noticed that there are 9 verses to this hymn. And we're not going to sing them all this morning. We are going to sing verses 1 and 2 and verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, because those are the ones that tell our story for this morning. So with all of that said, and of course, if you follow the words on the screen, you just have to follow the words on the screen and you don't have to worry about anything that I just said, but you'll find it's helpful. the hymn 261, verses 1 and 2 and 4 to 7. Let us sing. You did a wonderful job. As we have just sung, we now read the story of Thomas, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Listen for God's word to his people. When it was evening on the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Within the Christian church, the celebration of Easter is a joyous event. Triumphant hymns and acclamations of Christ's victory over death and hell, and great throngs of the faithful joining in worship for Easter. It is an event that we long for throughout the whole season of Lent, and it is the lens through which the suffering and the sorrow of Holy Week comes into their proper focus. So we could be forgiven for the fact that we often forget what the first Easter looked like for Jesus' closest friends and disciples. We can be forgiven if we forget that there were no crowds at the tomb on that first Easter morning, only Mary weighed down with grief, as we read last week. We can be forgiven if we forget that Jesus' disciples didn't sing great hymns of victory on that first Easter evening, but rather locked themselves away for fear of the Jews. And we can be forgiven if we judge Thomas too harshly for his request to touch the wounds of Jesus, so that he can be assured that Jesus is really risen from the dead, so that he might receive proof that the resurrection is real. As we turn to the biblical record this morning, the disciples of Jesus are locked away in an upper room filled with fear and uncertainty. There is no Easter celebration here. Just a group of followers who had some 48, 50 hours earlier watched as their teacher and their friend had been tortured, suffered, and died. If they had imagined that Jesus was the one who would drive the Roman authorities out of the city of Jerusalem and out of God's promised land, as they had sung just a week before, as Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem, then all those hopes and dreams were gone for this group of people. What would they do now? Now that their leader was gone, paralyzed with indecision and fear, the disciples are locked in. And we know that feeling all too well too, don't we? When our plans have fallen apart, when everything that we thought we knew had been cast into doubt, we know that we need to do something, but we cannot think beyond the past. We cannot come up with a new plan. All that we can remember is what we had hoped for. The disciples are locked away, not just in a geographic sense, but in an emotional sense too. But into the midst of their fear, Jesus comes, and Jesus speaks to them those words that we all long to hear. Peace be with you. Into their anxiety, into their fear, Jesus speaks peace. Then Jesus shows the disciples his hands and his sides, and he proves to them that this is the one who they had watched die, that he has indeed been raised from the dead. And then Jesus breathes the Spirit upon them and commissions them for ministry, to go out in the world just as God has sent them, to forgive sins. The crisis in our story, however, is that one of the disciples is not there. Thomas. Thomas did not get to experience Jesus' appearance to the other disciples. He did not get to see the wounds in the hands that Jesus had shown to his friends, or the spear marks in his side. He did not hear the risen Christ's voice proclaiming this message of peace. For all intents and purposes, Thomas, as he is introduced to us this morning in this reading from John's Gospel, is in exactly the same place that the other disciples had been as we began the reading. Thomas is locked away by his fear and his uncertainty. And so when Thomas's friends declare to him, "We have seen the Lord," Thomas utters what are his defining words: "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand into his side, I will not believe." And yet, Thomas is not really the doubting Thomas that popular culture has made him out to be. Thomas asks here for nothing more than the experience of the risen Christ that all of his fellow disciples had received when he wasn't there. Just as the other disciples had seen and heard and touched Jesus, so too Thomas wanted some experience that would confirm their message. One week later, Jesus appears to the disciples again. And John goes out of the way to say, and Thomas was there too. And Jesus invites Thomas to reach out and touch him, to experience the confirmation that he seeks, so that he can fully trust in Jesus, so that he too can know that the resurrection is real. In the end, Thomas needed nothing more than to encounter Jesus. The gospel lesson seems to indicate that as soon as Jesus holds out his nail-scarred hands, Thomas declares, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have come to believe." This encounter that Jesus has, first with the other disciples, then with Thomas, is the same experience that each and every person who comes to Christ in faith longs for. To have an experience of the risen Lord, just as we have shared this morning. Jesus' words, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" Well, even more blessed are those who have not seen and yet who come to believe. The story of Thomas is the story of the church. The church of Christ in every age that must answer the question, is this really Jesus? Is the resurrection real? Is it real for us? And is it real for others? How have we experienced the living Christ in our lives? That was our little exercise this morning. And for all of us, it's no doubt different. There's no right answer to that question, which makes it a wonderful one to ask you to share, because you can share your own experience without fear. For some of us, we experience the living Christ in the experience of community, in what we are doing right now, in the gathering together of the people of God in worship, in praise, and in service. We come together and we become a larger reality than if we were working on our own. We come together into this place, different people from different places in our lives, in the world, but here in this place, we are accepted and welcomed and loved for no other reason than the fact that we are children of God. We experience the living Christ as we experience the love of God that overcomes the fear and uncertainty in our lives and in the life of our world. I suspect in and amongst all of the stories that were there was remembrances of a time of the special feeling of God present with us at times when we were ill or when we were uncertain and worried about what was going to happen next in our lives, when we were mourning the death of someone we loved. And in those moments of darkness and pain, we felt the presence and the promise of a living God. We experience God when he touches our deepest need and our deepest hope. And we experience God in the joyous celebration of life and hope. Through the gathering in worship and through the lifting up of these great songs of hymn and hymns of praise and the telling of the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, we gather together and hear that celebration. And how wonderful it is. There is nothing better than Easter morning in the church. And from then and from that experience, Jesus Christ sends us out into the world. Jesus sends us to take the experience that we have received and to share it with others. The church, then, is always like that group of disciples gathered together in the upper room, experiencing the love of God, the reality and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, and then being spirit-breathed so that we can go out and declare the good news. Just as God has sent Christ to be the hope of the world, the church of Jesus Christ is commissioned to also bring hope to our world. And we do it with one simple message, that we believe in the resurrection and that we, through our experiences, all know that the resurrection is real. Thanks be to God. Amen. Each week in our services of worship, as we pause for the collection of the offering, we also take a moment to share with you on the screen the mission moment and see how in one way or another the Church of Jesus Christ, working with our brothers and sisters across our denomination, bring hope and new life to the world. So I draw to your attention the mission moment for this morning as it will appear on your screens. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and yet refuses to help a sister or a brother in need? Remembering God's great love for the world, let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Great God, to you we give our thanks, for your steadfast love endures forever. With gratitude we bring our gifts to you. Bless us and bless our gifts, that our lives and our resources may be a source of healing and hope, of joy and justice in our world. Amen. Let us continue now in prayer. Let us pray. All blessing and honor is due unto you, O God, for by your unending love we have been born again to a life full of freedom and hope. You have caused the bonds that enslave us to be loosened through your forgiveness offered in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have opened our eyes through his vision of your gracious will. We see now what it means to care for our neighbors. With his sacrifice, made once and for all, you broke down the walls of enmity and strife. We are able to cross lines of hostility, seeking reconciliation and peace. For all that, we thank you as we offer our prayers and thanksgivings. We thank you for life full of freedom and joy. We pray that what we do will be worthy of your covenant that Christ sealed upon the cross. We thank you for forgiveness, which opens our eyes to your gracious will. And we pray that you will pour out your Spirit freshly upon us and kindle us anew with the flame of your desires. We thank you for neighbors and for showing us what it means to care. We pray that as we prophesy, you will give us commitment to act within your society. We thank you for breaking down the walls of that keep us separate one from another. And we especially pray this morning for the congregation, our neighboring congregation of St. Luke's Knox Presbyterian Church in Finch. We pray that you will keep them ever faithful to the gospel promises and help them to rely on your Spirit to enliven and equip them for ministry. We thank you for Christ, who suffered on behalf of us all. When our faith is put to the test and we face the trials that obedience demands, fill us with boldness to proclaim just what new life may mean. We pray this day for churches, for the churches of Belarus, Moldova, Russia, and Ukraine, as they seek to proclaim your gospel of peace in difficult and trying circumstances. We give you thanks for their shared heritage of art and music, and we give you thanks for your sustaining presence that guided them during the decades of persecution under communism. We pray for them today as they seek to walk with Jesus in his paths of peace in the midst of this current crisis. Move hearts and minds to set aside petty nationalism for the greater good of your kingdom. We pray this day for all those who bear the burdens of this life, for the ill and the infirmed, for the aged, and especially those whose memory is fading. Amid all the challenges and changes of this life, may we be granted the knowledge deep within that you, O God, are with us. And especially we pray for those who on this day walk the valley of the shadow of death. May they and those who love them know no fear, but rather live in the assurance that even there you are present to comfort and guide them. We pray this day for this congregation and for the Rennie family as we mourn together the death of Fred, husband and father, pastor and friend. Sustain us with the sure hope that he so faithfully proclaimed throughout his life, and allow that hope to dwell in our hearts, that we might waiting with eager anticipation for the coming of your kingdom. Until that day, keep us persistent in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 257, The strife is o'er, the battle done. And remember the roadmap. The hallelujah at the top of the first page is sung at the beginning and the end of the hymn. Let us sing to God's praise. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Now let us go forth in Jesus' name. Remember Christ's new commandment to love one another just as he has loved us. And may the love of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you forever. Alleluia. Amen.